Good morning. This is the time set for oral argument on the en banc court's calendar. The first case for today is Stavros Anthony versus Ross Miller and the Clark County Board of Commissioners, case number 82269. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Wall.
Chief Justice Hardesty, Honorable Justices, may it please the court. My name is Michael Wall, and I have the privilege today of representing candidate Stavros Anthony in this important oral argument. I have with me my partner, Mark Hutchison, who is also appearing, and Mr. Anthony is watching these proceedings remotely. I would like to reserve, if possible, about 3 minutes for a rebuttal at the end. Your Honors, we are here today for one single purpose, and that purpose is for this court to perform its most important function. That function is to declare what the policy of the state of Nevada is with respect to the laws, and particularly today with respect to election laws. We're here for one statute to construe NRS 293.465. It's a standalone statute. This is not an election contest. This statute doesn't come in the sections of the election law that deal with contesting an election. It comes in the section that deal with the integrity of the system and the process itself. The statute, the rights of the parties begin and end and must be found in this statute. So the issue before the court is whether this statute should be given a flexible construction so that the remedy is applicable whenever circumstances exist which make it so that we don't know who won the election. This court, in its important case, LaPorta, identified not one, as opposing counsel has suggested in the answering brief, but two primary and fundamental policy issues that are fundamental to suffrage. The first one is that the elector should have an opportunity to participate in the election. The second one is the overarching principle of all of the statutes that deal with election, and that is to determine what the real will of the electors is, and that real will should not be defeated. That's what this court declared in LaPorta versus Broadbent. The statute has two components. If two things happen, then, according to the statute, the county commissioners shall order a new election. They have no discretion in this. It's a ministerial duty. If those two things happen, they have to order an election. The first one is that an appropriate election officer, in this case the registrar, has to declare that the election has been prevented. And the second one is that a candidate has to request the election. Opposing counsel has stated multiple times that this is a voter-centric statute. There's nothing in the statute that says that. There's nothing in the LaPorta that says that. This statute is based upon the rights of the voters and, most importantly, that when that it's focused upon determining what the intent of the voters is. If we don't know what that intent is, the whole election process has been prevented and defeated.
Mr. Wall, this is Justice Hardesty. I appreciate your identifying, at least from your point of view, those two factors that implicate the statute. I'm not sure I agree with you, but I appreciate your argument on this point. As to the first, an affidavit setting forth the from the election official indicating that the election was prevented. In the district court's order, there is a sentence in which the district court specifically found that there is a lot of different ways the election could have been prevented. That is not what is included in Mr. Gloria's affidavit. In reviewing the affidavit, it does not appear that he indicated that the election was prevented. Could you comment on that, and am I mistaken with respect to my understanding of the affidavit and the district court's ruling on that point?
Your understanding of the district court's ruling is correct. In my opinion, it's the district court's ruling which is incorrect, Your Honor, and the reason for that is because the ruling itself is just a circular argument. It is based upon the district court's conclusion that the word prevent means very narrow circumstances, such as a loss of ballots or a terrorist attack or whatever the judge thinks is...
No, I understand that there is a difference of opinion about how we should interpret the statute, and I think that that's a very live issue. I'm trying to understand factually, the district court is characterizing Mr. Gloria's affidavit. The election official, the only one who could provide an affidavit, is the district court's assertion, and my understanding of the affidavit correct, that the affidavit did not indicate that the election was prevented?
I would disagree with that, Your Honor, because, as I was saying, if you depending on how you define the word prevented the election, that's simply what it means. If preventing the election is broadly construed to mean things other than what the district court intended it to mean, the affidavit is sufficient. What the registrar said to the commission was he could not certify the election. Specifically, the affidavit states there are 139 discrepancies which the election boards were unable to reconcile. As a result, I cannot certify that the vote is an accurate representation of the will of the voters in that district. And in my professional opinion as an election official, it raises a reasonable doubt as to the outcome of the election. Nothing in the statute says that the registrar has to use the words, the election was prevented. The registrar has used words which indicate, in his opinion, there is no winner. There is no election that can be certified.
Mr. Wall, Justice Kadish in Carson City. So I understand that they may not, he may not have to use the word prevent, but doesn't the content of the affidavit have to indicate that the election was prevented somehow? And if so, how does this affidavit demonstrate that an election was prevented?
I agree with that statement, Judge Kadish, and I believe that the affidavit says exactly that the election was prevented. In any case where the election results because of whatever happened in the election, no one can know the winner. Regardless of how this thing comes out at the end of the day, we don't know who won that election. If nobody knows who won the election, if it cannot be determined, there has not been an election. That election has been prevented. In this case, the election was prevented because there were too many discrepancies. They were within that margin of error, so we don't know who won.
So in your view, if there's some question about the outcome of the election, then an election was prevented?
Not if there's just some question, but the overarching policy of all of the statutes, including this one, is that the will of the voters must be known. If the will of the voters is not known, there hasn't been an election. The election has been prevented. The legislature did not mean with that use of that single word to take it out of context and say there has to be something outside of there. There's nothing in the statute that says that this statute is an election disaster statute. This is an election can't be determined statute. There's nothing in it that says that it has to do with access to the polls. If the voters can go to the polls and they cast their votes, but their votes, they can't be determined, there hasn't been an election. Opposing counsel says multiple times in his brief that we are asking this court to ignore 150,000 votes. That's exactly incorrect. It is opposing counsel who is asking this court to ignore the fact that 150,000 votes were cast and we're within a margin of 10 to 15. We don't know who won the election.
But Mr. Wall, this is Justice Stiglitz. But there was another route for Mr. Stavros to contest the election. It's just that, as I understand from the pleadings, he didn't like the remedy that was provided. If he were successful, he didn't like the remedy. So we have a statute that probably, arguably, would address this situation without having to do violence to a different statute that has been interpreted, you know, pretty narrowly in the past and seems to address a specific, this prevention, this loss of ballots, or something that actually somebody didn't get to vote, or the ballots were lost. So why do we have to do violence to one statute when there's another statute that the legislature seems to have provided for?
The other statute has to do with an election contest, when one of the parties contests the election because there was something outside of the process that it can prove that went wrong. It doesn't have to do with the situation where the election didn't happen. We're not doing violence to the statute by suggesting that the election was prevented in a case such as this, where we don't know who won and the will of the people is not known. That's the policy of the state of Nevada that has been declared. This statute is a separate statute. It doesn't come in the section where a party gets to challenge or contest the validity of the election and has a burden of proof. It comes in a completely different section where it says if there's not an election, if the election is prevented in some way, then the registrar in this case, the election official, gets to say, I don't know who won. He can't certify who won. It's a separate and completely different remedy. To narrow that remedy the way that the Mr. Miller and his counsel would like to do would be to simply ignore the overarching process that is supposed to be in place. The first statement in the answering brief is, to put it coldly, the Nevada Election Code does not care whether an election is closely run or ends in a landslide. I would suggest that nothing could be farther from the truth. The election process is precisely concerned, all of the statutes are precisely concerned with that issue, as to whether or not the will of the voters has been expressed. Your Honor, I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless you've got questions.
I don't think so at this point, Mr. Wall. Thank you. All right. Are you ready to begin, Mr. Schrager?
I am, Your Honor. Thank you very much. Your Honors, may it please the Court, good morning. My name is Bradley Schrager, and I represent Commissioner Ross Miller in this matter. Here as well is Marianne Miller on behalf of the County Commission. I'll be presenting the substantive arguments this morning, but I'm sure if you have any questions for Ms. Miller, she'll be happy to answer them as well. Your Honors, in this appeal, the Court has multiple grounds upon which it can affirm the District Court, and you've already touched on essentially the three major ones. I don't see any legitimate paths to reversal. The court can readily choose either the text of 293.465, which we know requires prevention of election, doesn't seem to apply here. The court can hold that. The procedures required by that statute to trigger and activate its provisions were not observed here. And so the court could stop short of interpreting 293.465. And then thirdly, as you've already touched upon, the court could say that what Mr. Anthony is really trying to do here is to pour the old wine of an election contest into the new bottle of 293.465. And that is both inappropriate and impermissible for reasons already touched upon and I'll get to as well. I think what the court cannot do is to adopt the rule that Mr. Anthony is urging. And there are very particular and absolutely pressing reasons why that's true. At issue here, Your Honor, as testified by the registrar below and established entirely, are utterly routine clerical discrepancies in election department records, the kinds of things that happened in every single election, primary, general, special, recall, every kind of election has these types of discrepancies. And if you look in the record, they begin on Appendix 310. There's the record of how these are generated. What they are the records by precinct in which, for one reason or another, the number of ballots don't match the number of voters checked in, usually by one in each precinct that reports any discrepancy at all. And most precincts reported no discrepancies. They are, in essence, randomized statistical anomalies that happen in every election because of the collision between fallible human voters and fallible human election workers. We know the types of reasons why these things occur, but there is absolutely no way, and the registrar testified to this, there's absolutely no way to recover, recuperate, or document any particular instance of these completely unremarkable and routine statistical discrepancies in the election department records. Let me be
very clear. Mr. Schrager, if I could interrupt you, this is Justice Herndon. Isn't that part of the problem with trying to pursue a contesting of the election? If the registrar cannot tell us what the discrepancies were, i.e., did somebody illegally vote twice? Did somebody sign in and then leave without voting? If he can't give us that information, then a court cannot declare a winner because there's nothing for the court to rely on, in which case the office is declared vacant and the will of the people is stripped away and the voters have no meaning and the governor appoints somebody, almost preventing the election, I guess you could say. But doesn't that make it absurd to have to pursue that and then not have an election?
Well, and I understand and I appreciate the approach, but even Your Honor went to immediately the election contest statutes, which would be an adversarial proceeding, right? Particularly drafted and decided by the legislature that this is the manner in which we determine these things. Now, obviously, the registrar couldn't speak to what happened in any individual instance, and these happen in every single election. That does not mean that there couldn't have been depositions or evidence taken through an adversarial process to perhaps establish what happened. But even if not, if you could establish that there's no way to tell who won the election, which is not what happened here, there's a provision.
Mr. Schrager, this is Justice Pickering, and I wanted to follow up a bit on Justice Herndon's question and your statements about these errors bedevil every election. We do have an affidavit from Joe Gloria that says, your colleague read it, but as a result, I cannot certify that the vote is an accurate representation of the will of the voters in that district. And in my professional opinion, as an election official, it raises a reasonable doubt as to the outcome of the election. Now, that sort of statement by the Registrar of Voters is not commonplace in the conduct of elections in Clark County, is it?
It is not commonplace. That is absolutely true. It is, however, a legally meaningless statement under the state statutes under which we operate and we determine the winners of elections.
But let me follow up. What would be the purpose of the affidavit? And I understand there's the deposition testimonies kind of drive into what subjectively his purpose was. But matching up that affidavit and his provision of it, and indeed the county board initial acceptance of it, it seems to me he was proceeding under 293-465 saying these 139 discrepancies and this 10-vote difference leave me, as the person in charge of this, saying, I can't certify it. I don't know who won.
Yeah.
So what other purpose would he have been submitting that affidavit for than the purpose in 293-465?
Right.
I'm not prepared to say it was gratuitous.
No, Your Honor. And I think you're right. It is not a gratuitous affidavit. What it is a memorialization of what he told the county commission at the initial canvass. When asked directly by counsel for Mr. Anthony, is this a 293-465 affidavit? Is that what you were intending to do? The registrar said very, very clearly, and it's Appendix 261, that was not my intention. I did not correlate the two. I was merely memorializing in a legal document what I told the county commission. Now, clearly,
does the record reflect whether either Mr. Gloria or anyone else has ever submitted such an affidavit in Clark County?
The last time an affidavit of this kind was submitted in Clark County was in 2011, in a race for It was the North Las Vegas City Council Ward 3 that was decided by one vote, and an individual voter was found, a specific identifiable voter, was found to have been permitted to vote when he oughtn't to have. So that threw into question that portion of the election. An affidavit was submitted, but the district court, on a writ of mandamus, said, no, that's not a 293-465 affidavit, because you aren't talking about a prevention of election. You're talking about a circumstances in which adversarial candidates can, at their election, go to the district court and argue this out in the proper way, in the mandatory and exclusive way, which is an election contest.
But so, this was when Mr. Gloria reported to the Clark County Commission and then gave his affidavit, that was not initiated via court proceeding, was it? I mean, it was something he did himself.
No, that's true. But also was the 2011 was initiated by the, at that time we had city clerks who did it. So it was the city clerk. So that wasn't initiated by the district court either. That was brought about by the circumstances. Now, in this, you know, the reasons Joe Gloria gave for giving this was that it was at the direction of his counsel to memorialize his statements to the commission. That's what he did. Now, neither he, in his stated testimony, nor the district court, in its findings and conclusions, saw this as a 293-465 election. And that's largely because, when we go back to the notion of prevention, right? There was no election prevented here. What there was statistical anomalies, as you say, that bedevil every single election.
Mr. Schrager, this is Justice Herndon again. Let me ask you, since you mentioned the word prevention, the statute doesn't restrict how prevention is applied to the word election. It doesn't say prevention has to mean the election never started. Doesn't say prevention has to mean the election stopped midway through. It just says prevented. If the registrar can't certify the results of the election, and the election is arguably not completed, is it not prevented?
I guess there are theoretical ways in which that could be true, Justice Turner, but that's not the situation here. Here, the election absolutely was completed, and it was completed in the way that all elections are completed. It seems to me that 293-465, and let me say that Mr. Anthony's reliance on this any other cause subclause language within 293-465 doesn't really do him any good, because it isn't any other cause that gives him consternation or increases opacity in the results of the election. 293-465 seems, in my reading, to require an event, an incident, a disruption, something that prevents or interferes with the balloting or the counting or the transportation or the delivery of the ballots. What is the event or the incident here? These statistical discrepancies are, in essence, you know, when a voter shows up, checks in, and then leaves without casting their ballot. Or, for example, when, again, fallible voters meet fallible election officials, someone is not checked in properly, but they're completely eligible, and they're permitted to vote. That's why you have statistical discrepancies. Mr. Anthony has not placed any ballots in question. There is no allegation that any ballot was counted that shouldn't have been. There's no allegation that any ballot wasn't counted that ought to have been. Neither is there any indication of any incident that can be directly, you know, linked to harm or prejudice to Mr. Anthony. I mean, even in, you know, what is the event or the incident here that causes the prevention, the like causes? The reason why any other cause is an expansive notion in this particular statute is because there are limitless possibilities of things that could prevent the election machinery from completing or conducting the election. But the thing still has to achieve that. What is the event here? I mean, with a 15-vote margin, would it be the 16th clerical flaw?
Before
anyone knew what... Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Schrager, why isn't 293.410 on all fours with the facts of this case?
It absolutely is. And, in fact, that was the best option for Mr. Anthony, because if you look at 293.410 subsection 2 or section 2 subsection D, what it says is one of the grounds for contesting an election, is that the election board, in conducting the election, made errors sufficient to change the result of the election as to any person who has been declared elected. That's the terrain that Mr. Anthony ought to have been fighting on. Because I have to disagree with opposing counsel that, you know, 293-465 is a voter access statute. It is not a candidate protection statute. That's why it is tucked in as it is, with statutes saying you can leave work to vote lawfully, or the court-ordered extension of the deadline for voting, an instance of which we had this time. So, you know, yes, Your Honor, you're exactly right. This is a ground in which election contests ought to have been the path chosen, because 293-465 is utterly unconcerned with a margin between the candidates, textually and otherwise. That's the province of the election code sections. In fact, 293-465 doesn't function to vindicate the rights of clients at all. As we point out in our brief, and this actually applies to LaPorta, and I'm going to talk about LaPorta in a second, even in a landslide election with no doubt regarding the outcome, you could have a 293-465 issue because something happens at the polls, something happens with the ballots. It might be a waste of time and resources for the registrar to make that affidavit and the candidate in those instances to make the application and the Board of County Commissioners to do their duty and set a new election, but it would be lawful. It would be legitimate. But if you are a candidate concerned with the margin of votes and the conduct of the election, your remedy is an election contest. And as we touched upon a bit earlier, the reasons why Mr. Anthony did not, in fact, seek an election contest after the recount had to do with his political ambitions, that the best he thought he could do was not show that he had won, but to end in confusion regarding the result, and therefore there would be a vacancy filled by the governor, who was of a different political party. Therefore, that was not interesting to Mr. Anthony. That was not going to get him where he needed to be. The only thing that he thought could do that was to, essentially, as we are here, ask for the judicial creation of a wholly new and uncontemplated mechanism for challenging an election result. And I want to go back one second to the rule Mr. Anthony's urging and why it could be so damaging. The registrar said, okay, there were 139 of these in this race and about 900 countywide. He said that was below, well below normal, because these normally happen when there are in-person voter interactions. Well, if in a normal election, countywide, there would have been 1,500, 2,000 of these. The rule that Mr. Anthony is urging would mean that any election with a margin within this novel, non-statutory zone would require a rerun and a new election. I cannot tell you the chaos. May I complete my statement, Your Honor?
Yes, please finish your thought. Yes. And I was going to ask you about that. It would seem like the interpretation being urged in this case, when applied to almost any election in which these discrepancies occur, would result in every election being redone because of those discrepancies.
No, that's exactly my final point, which is that the rule that's being urged, that any time the discrepancies themselves somehow are larger than the margin between the candidates, that there would be an automatic, essentially automatic right to a new election, would mean that every election cycle, primaries and general, we always have close elections in Nevada.
My question, Mr. Schrager, is I'm not sure that the statute as being argued here, and I was going to ask Mr. Wall to clarify his position on this, but if you take the argument to its logical extension, it doesn't matter what the discrepancy is in the vote. It could be 10 votes or it could be 100,000 votes. If there is some discrepancy as identified by the registrar here, that there's a difference between those who checked in and those who voted, or those who voted and those who checked in, and that discrepancy, no matter how small, exists, if the statute is applied in that way, it doesn't matter what the vote difference is between the candidates.
I think you're, uh, uh, Chief Justice Hardesty, that's an important cautionary point. And I think we're both reaching toward the same sense that to interpret 293-465 in this way would introduce an instability into the Nevada election system that is utterly intolerable going forward. So with that, I would submit on that if there are no other questions, or if you have any questions for Ms. Miller, she's prepared to answer those as well.
Do the justices have any additional questions for Mr. Schrager or any questions for Ms. Miller? All right, seeing none, Mr. Wall, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will begin with your question, Justice Hardesty, because that seems to be the issue that is possibly dividing the court. It's simply not true that the rule that we are arguing for would result in a new election in every case. This very election demonstrates that fact. The registrar certified every election in light of the same 139 irreconcilable differences, except one. The reason he didn't certify the one is because that one is within such a close margin of error, he could not certify what the will of the people is.
So, Mr. Wall, what do we take from the fact that when he did do his affidavit, the registrar used the language from 293.410? He didn't use 465. He didn't use prevention. He used reasonable doubt as to the outcome of the election, which is one of the prongs of applying 410. Help me with that.
Your Honor, the affidavit problem that we keep addressing comes down to, as I keep saying, a construction of the statute. It was represented here that the registrar said he wasn't trying to submit this pursuant to that statute. That, I think, is a misrepresentation of the deposition testimony in the record at A260. What the registrar said was, I didn't correlate the two. I simply followed the directive of the DA. What is true is that the registrar went to the legislature, to the commission, told the commission, I can't certify. I will certify all the rest of them. I won't certify this one. So if that language comes from the other statute or doesn't apply here, it would only be because this court construed this statute to be very, very narrow.
So, Mr. Wall, Justice Kadish here. So what he said in his affidavit is that there are 139 discrepancies and 218 precincts in District C. Now, just looking at those numbers, that means not every precinct has a discrepancy, and maybe some precincts have more than one. I don't know. Have you specified which specific precincts or districts would need to be redone that were prevented as contemplated under 465?
No, we don't know. That there are irreconcilable differences. We don't even know what they are. We could identify the precincts that had a difference, but the statute requires a new election because the discrepancies are irreconcilable.
It requires a new election in that precinct or district, meaning the precinct or district where an election was prevented. Does there need to be a new election in a precinct where there are no discrepancies?
That could have been left to the commission to decide exactly how to address that. The question is not, at this point, how that election would look, but that a new election should have been ordered, and was ordered. When the district attorney gave them the advice was you have to have a new election.
Chief Justice Hardesty, this is Justice Pickering in Las Vegas. May I ask a question, even though we're over time?
Yes, of course. Please do.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Wall, your argument seems to depend a lot on the certification or affidavit by the Registrar of Voters that he cannot call this election because of these discrepancies. And then you extrapolate that that's a prevention of the election. What beyond the affidavit is the criteria for prevention of an election under the any other cause language in the statute at issue here? Are there other criteria than that in the professional opinion of the registrar he can't certify in your view of this statute?
That is what this court is called upon to tell us, Your Honor. That's what we think. I think that the any other cause is any cause which requires the registrar to come to the conclusion that he cannot certify. The statute says if he certify, if he does an affidavit saying I can't certify, and in the a candidate asks for an election, there must be a new election. Anytime there are circumstances that make it so that we don't know what the result of the election is, there should be a new election. That's what the purpose of the statute is. This isn't a challenge to an election result. It's not a challenge. Counsel kept saying that. There was
I understand that, but you're saying, sir, that then the registrar or the election official has complete authority that's unchecked by this statute to say, I can't certify, therefore we have to go again. Is that right?
Statute gives the authority to the registrar or the election official to make that determination of whether or not he will certify, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Justice Hardesty, this is Justice Herndon. I also had a question, if I may, sir.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Wall, under the statute, when we, and there have been a lot of questions asked of both of you, I believe, in terms of the registrar's affidavit. The candidate cannot control the registrar's conduct or the language that a registrar uses in the affidavit. As I understand the statute, the candidate can only react if the registrar files an affidavit attesting to problems with the election. And in this case, that happened, and then Mr. Anthony thereafter filed his application under the statute referencing the affidavit. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Wall? All right. Seeing none, thank you, counsel, for your arguments this morning and your briefing in this matter. The case will stand submitted, and we will convene at 11 o'clock for the next oral argument. The court will be in recess.